KB4 CBA. Good evening, or good afternoon.
Still awake after being up at 2 a.m.
Yeah, I'm headed to my grandson's softball game, baseball game in Powdersville.
That'll be fun. Did you ever get your evening nap in?
I got one. Let's see. Yeah, I slept a little bit more this morning, later on in the morning. I don't know, about 6 o'clock or so. I went back to sleep for a little while.
And then, a couple hours of FTA, then a nap, and then you get started on your day.
I was just going down. I can't remember the name of the road, but it's a twisty, turning road that cuts through, I think it's, I can't even think of the name of the road. Anyway, it's over here in the Easley or Powdersville area, and it cuts over to 81 from the road I was on, I went around one of these curves and I headed down the hill and I was just letting the car coast. I was in sixth gear, but I was just letting it coast. And I started down the hill and I looked and there was a highway patrolman sitting there. And as soon as I passed him, I could see him put it in gear and he started rolling. And I thought he was going to pull me over, but he never did. So I don't know where he went.
I always hate that feeling, which, I try my best not to speed or do anything, but every once in a while, you throw a little something and you see a cop and you just think he's automatically coming for you, but, yeah, I can understand that.
Should have known, because, I just saw it on the news. They're doing this, they got a campaign going right now, and, so anyway, I saw one on 123 coming down that long stretch there between White Horse and Fish Trap, and he was right at the bottom of the hill, and me and about three other cars, we were moving right along, but he didn't come out, and then this guy on this Cuthbert Road, and I'm like, okay, I guess God's trying to tell me something.
And then so far I've been on 85 a couple miles and I haven't seen them yet. I know sometimes they like to do those campaigns out here and sit all over the entrance ramps and hide and everything else.
There's a real good place that that I've seen them set on 385. If you're headed northbound, it's the bridge that goes over 417 or Lawrence Road. And right if you cross the bridge, there's a place right there on the left where they can back into and get tucked in there, and you don't see them until you pass them, until you go over the bridge, and then it's too late. As well as oops moments. And I tell you, that is a sinking feeling, too. When that guy put his car in gear and started rolling, I thought, oh, he's coming after me. But, and I just kept looking in my rearview mirror, and he never came. And I thought, well, where the heck is he, And he never did. I guess he just got tired of sitting there. I don't know.
Maybe his shift was over or something like that, and it was just time to go. But yeah, I go northbound on 85, and they sit up here around this Highway 129, and they'll get, when you go up under the bridge, they'll be sitting on the other side of it on the entrance ramp. You can't see them until after it's too late, and they get all kinds of people up this way when they do it.
Yeah, before they had radar, that's how they did it. They would sit at the top of the on-ramp, and if they saw you come by, they would take off down the on-ramp, and the only way they could figure out how fast you were going was to catch up with you, and they didn't have radar.
I kind of wonder how they figured that up. Like, how does that work? You know, how long it takes them to close the distance on you? Or, you know, I know they there's places where they have areas where they can count. And, but, I mean, radar's come a long way with the lasers and everything else.
Riding in my uncle's 59 Ford, and that was a big old car, and we were doing about 90 miles an hour down 26 going to Charleston. They lived in Charleston, and he was taking me and my sister and my grandmother, who was his mom, back home with him to Charleston, and my aunt was in the car too, and this policeman pulled him over, and he said, "Well, how fast were you going?" He said, "I never got close enough to clock you." And he said, "Well, you know, officer, if I told you, I'd be lying to you, because my speedometer needle moves about 10 miles an hour both ways." So he said, "I really couldn't tell you."
Surprise. And I've had plenty of vehicles over the years where the speedometer's either not right, or, you know, trucks where I've changed the tires on them, and it's not quite what it should be as far as being accurate. So, you know, you never really know exactly how fast you're going.
Just, you know, I don't know what kind of system they used back then. I know it was a cable-driven speedometer, but, you know, and it did. I mean, it wasn't lying. You could sit there and watch it, and it would go up and down about 10 miles an hour, so you could figure, you know, somewhere in the middle of that was how fast you were actually going. And his was bouncing between, like, 85 and 95, so, you know, we're about 90, and, I mean, he was flying. I know he was, because you could tell.
I know, growing up, my mom always had, they loved Oldsmobiles, and had a Cutlass, what was it, Sierra Classic or something like that. Man, she'd let that thing open wide up, especially coming out of the mountains. You know, those things would roll forever. And she just let it roll, and God only knows how fast we were coming down, like Saluda Grade and stuff, when we came back from the mountain.
I had an old 63 Chevrolet that I drove to college at Mars Hill back in the mid-70s, and I decided I'd see how fast it would go down that 6% grade. So I just floored it. And they had a 283 power glide transmission, and I probably could have run it up in neutral and gone faster, but anyway, I think I was like 112 miles an hour, and the windshield wipers started creeping up the windshield, and so I figured that was a sign, you know, I better let off, so I did.
Yeah, I understand that. Shoot, not long after I started working at BMW, I ended up getting like a 3 Series or 5 Series, and I took it down towards Woodruff, and it topped out at like 135. I don't think I've ever done that since. Just never had a desire after that. I mean, I don't know, you get up that fast, it starts making you nervous after a while. If anything happened, it would just be all over with.
I don't know how to figure feet per second, but I wish you could remember what the formula is, but at that speed, you know, you'd probably travel a football field just before you would even react to what you saw in front of you, and then you would start braking. So you can imagine the distance it would take you to stop. Because it takes, I think it takes like a 1.5, average of 1.5 seconds to react to what you see, and then you have to respond, and then you have to stop or avoid or whatever you're going to do, and So, you know, you, at that speed, you would have traveled a great distance, you know, before you even reacted to what was in front of you.
I get that. That's one reason I used to love my Harley, because no matter how much you romped down on it, it really wasn't going anywhere that fast. I mean, it'd take you forever to get a mean speed on it. But the way people drive now, I don't trust it. But that's definitely what I used to like about my Harley when I drove one years and years ago.
Still got my Honda Valkyrie, and I loved it. I had it out a few weeks ago and went for a ride, but, you know, I try to stay on the secondary roads and you know, stay off, Wade Hampton and 291, places like that. Get out on Highway 11 where there's not near as much traffic.
Yeah, that's when you can kind of relax a little bit, not a whole lot, but, you know, you still got the cars that'll pull out on the side roads and stuff, but it was, I've rode mine before to work, whenever I had it, and I'd hit the I-85, and that was just nerve-wracking the entire time, but, you know, most of the time I try to stay on the back roads if I could, KO4, yep, righty.
I have arrived at the ball field here, so I'm going to jump out and watch my grandson play. He's but the game's supposed to start in about 2 or 3 minutes here. So I'll say 73s, and you have a good evening. Be careful out there going home, and go talk to you later. KP4CBA, clear after yours.
You enjoy the ball game, and I appreciate you keeping me company on the way home today. So hopefully I holler at you on the radio, or maybe see you on the pass band on the FT8 one evening. KO4CF, and I will be clear.